tuition's gone up every single year. I pay my tuition myself, like with my own money that I've worked while I'm here, so it's kind of really upsetting.
Very non-ethical, and I don't know how you,
and then
like how you would like sleep at night.
187 travel days, like I honestly don't know how she did that long without getting caught.
I just think it's frankly embarrassing and upsetting as a student, because what is UConn administration doing about things like this?
You're hearing from UConn students who are outraged and spoke with NewsAid after it became public knowledge that a UConn professor allegedly spent tens of thousands of university dollars to fund 19 trips in about a two-year span. From trips to Walt Disney World to Ireland and Portugal, this professor reportedly disguised those trips, which resulted in 187 days out of school collectively, as research-based trips. And what's crazy is no one really caught it until now. Now, I can't help but relate back to an investigation that was done near the end of last year looking at the CSEU school system. And again, inappropriate spending happening, and it wasn't caught for a very long time. But Comptroller Sean Scanlon actually came on our show literally hours after making that report public, and he joins us this morning. And Comptroller Scanlon, I don't know if you can comment on this UConn situation, but I think it begs the question again, how do we even have confidence as the parents of today? I know you have young children. I myself have young children. A lot of our listeners do, or they have grandchildren. How are we supposed to trust sending our kids, I mean, to college in general, but certainly to our Connecticut colleges when we constantly keep hearing about misuse of spending?
Well, good morning, Melissa, and thanks for having me on. The way we do it is to make sure that it doesn't happen again. My report about CCSU had 10 recommendations in it of how we could pass a law in Connecticut that would require them to be more transparent, to be more financially responsible with our taxpayer dollars. And I'm happy to say that that law was introduced. There was a hearing on it a few weeks ago, and the bill that I sponsored and I'm working to pass includes both CSCU and also applies to UConn. So going forward, both the state university system and the University of Connecticut will have to adhere to the same rules that I recommended after the wake of the Terrence Chang scandal. And I think that that's good for the state of Connecticut, because both these institutions need to be, good stewards of that money. And while there are small, isolated, one-off things that happen that get a lot of news that I find to be outrageous, the vast majority of them are doing the right thing. But we got to make sure that we can find those one-offs and make sure that we're doing everything we can.
Comptroller, do you mind just kind of reiterating for folks? I know you outlined all of them for us on a previous interview that we did, which people can go back. We could certainly give the link to that. But do you mind just kind of overviewing? So it sounds like there is strong support for this, and the likelihood of it becoming a law seems pretty good, it sounds like. But kind of remind folks those recommendations and what we could see if this becomes a law here in Connecticut.
Well, the biggest problem with CSCU was that they were doing a lot of what normal people like you and I would consider excessive spending, but technically they weren't really violating many policies because they didn't have the right policies in place to prevent that in the first place. So my recommendations start with just putting policies in place to limit these kind of things, and then putting checks in place to make sure that when people do violate these new policies, that they're being caught sooner than they are caught just because a reporter finds them, right? So in the case of CSEU, because they have been so budget strapped, ironically, in 2017, they disbanded their internal audit unit. It's like the last freaking unit that you'd ever want to disband in a tight crunch of finances, because you want to make sure every dollar is being spent wisely. But they cut that in 2017. So one of our biggest recommendations is bring back the internal audit unit, have people looking at this on a constant basis. And let's not just find these things out 2 or 3 years down the road because some journalist decided to dig into it. No, we should be finding them on our own. And under this bill, we will.
And you're saying, Comptroller, that UConn would also have to follow the same criteria that you're asking to happen for CSCU. What about other colleges? I mean, not to like name drop, but I just know here in our direct area, you know, we have like a Fairfield U and a Sacred Heart. Is that because those are private institutions, or like a Quinnipiac? Like, are they also?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they're not. They're private institutions, right? We can govern them in some ways, but at the end of the day, taxpayer dollars are going to fund UConn and the CSU system. And there's a difference there. The other thing is a lot of those private universities, they have large endowments where, they're using those dollars to wine and dine donors and professors and things like that. I get that that's part of higher education, which is why one of my recommendations was, hey, if you're going to go out to a fancy steakhouse, have that be paid for by donors of the university who are giving their own money to do stuff like that. Have that be paid for by taxpayers. So, we're working through this bill. I agree with you. I think this bill has got bipartisan support, and I hope that it passes. But if this is the kind of thing that ticks you off when you see this news about that UConn professor, or when you read those stories about Terrence Chang, pick up the phone, call your state rep, call your state senator, and tell them to support this bill.
We've got Comptroller Sean Scanlon here, and I wanted to talk about some other major news happening up in Hartford during the legislative session. Comptroller, there's a push for a Connecticut child tax credit, and I wasn't sure if you could comment on that, and would love to know what your thoughts are.
So before I was the comptroller, I was the chair of the legislature's finance committee, which is the tax writing committee. And in 2021, I introduced the first bill to create a child tax credit. And it was a bit of a lonely fight. There wasn't a lot of support for it. We didn't get it done. In 2022, during the height of the inflation crisis, we mailed out a child tax rebate. So over 250,000 parents in our state got some money during the height of that crisis. And I think it was a really good policy that we should continue. It's really freaking expensive, as you know, to raise young kids today for a number of different reasons. And I think we should be doing everything we can to cut taxes for parents and to make it more affordable for parents. And if we can do that, I think we're going to grow Connecticut. So fast forward to today, there was 70 co-sponsors of that bill. So I think this movement has come a long way. I'm all for it, and I hope they get it done this year.
So it looks like that proposal creates a permanent tax credit of $600 per child for up to three children. And what are sort of the parameters around that? Like how much money are you bringing in, I should say, to be able to qualify for this tax credit?
Well, I don't know exactly where the proposal is going to land this year, so I don't want to throw out a number, but that has been subject to negotiation because that is very, very expensive. So, for example, if you gave that to all of the parents, $600 per child up to three kids, for everyone making less than $100,000, for example, it costs $300 million.
Wow.
So, it's a big price tag and a big hole in our budget. And part of the reason why I think it hasn't gone forward is not because people don't see the merits of it, but because it's very expensive to pass that with all the other competing priorities that we have. And the governor prefers more broad-based tax cuts like the one that he passed a few years ago to the income tax. And you always hear that argument like, well, I don't have kids, so why should we do this? But families and young families in particular, I think, are the engine of economic growth for states. And if you look at states that have a lot of young people moving into it and having kids, their economies are healthier just because those are the most sort of the most attractive people you can get for a state in terms of the economy. So if we can drive down costs for folks to have kids and afford to live in Connecticut, I think it's a good thing for everybody, even if you don't have kids.
And Comptroller Scanlon, another thing, you released a report recently on solutions to challenges that rideshare drivers are facing in Connecticut. Could you talk a little bit about the findings from this report and what your recommendations are?
Yeah, so what we found was that we think there are 12,000 Uber and Lyft drivers in the state, but we don't know if that number is accurate because the rideshare companies, which are what Uber and Lyft are, they don't share that information. There's really not a lot of transparency. So part of this report that we put out was to require more transparency. Tell us how many drivers you have. Tell us how much money they're earning and what kind of trips that they're doing so we can understand what this business is in Connecticut. But the other thing here, Melissa, is that these drivers are very famously not considered employees of these companies. They're considered independent contractors. And Uber and Lyft's entire business model is predicated on them not being employees. However, several states have recently begun entering into settlements with Uber and Lyft to say, hey, look, we'll concede the fact that these guys are not employees, but you should give them a little bit more benefits for the work that they're doing, given that they essentially, wink, wink, are employees of yours. And Massachusetts has done that. New York has done that. And my report suggests that Connecticut should do that. And again, this isn't meant to be an onerous mandate on businesses. It's meant to say, hey, look, Uber is awesome. Lyft is awesome. But these drivers are coming to us and saying, hey, they want to drive for Uber. They love driving for Uber, but they'd love to have some health insurance, or they'd love to get a minimum wage for the work that they're doing. And I hope that we can sit down with the company, as I have in the last couple of weeks, and come to an agreement that might work for everybody and give these drivers a little more benefits and make sure that we got more people on the road.
Yeah, and we've certainly seen in the past couple of years a lot of protests specifically from these rideshare drivers at major airports here and across the country for this exact reason, which is why I think other states have started to jump on this. And so I'm encouraged to see that Connecticut is aware of it and jumping on it as well. And Comptroller Scanlon, definitely keep us posted on all of these things. And I know we'll be in touch again really soon. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa. Talk to you soon.